Stand together for the last. I heard about a mansion and sing.
I heard about a mansion. He has built for me.
Mason, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we gather and rejoice in thy presence. We rejoice in your love. We give ourselves that we might serve you, that we might please you, that we might bring glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I think I've covered all the announcements. Ladies, you know that there's childcare across the hall for the workshop hour. Also, the workshop itself is over in the children's room over there for the ladies. Men, you'll be remaining here for our workshop. So just a note on that. And Brother Mike McCubbin says that there are some of his things over there that took wings. And maybe you borrowed them to investigate or maybe to sample them or something there. But if you know where they traveled to, he would like to have them back. They're right here.
Somebody's using them.
They use them to prop up the projector. This. This is like the Chinese restaurant. Please disregard previous cookie. Right. Okay. All right. Well, that was nice. You found your flute. We found your video. I mean, you know, all's well with the world. We're in good form here. All righty. One of the ladies from Hope Baptist Church that I've come to truly treasure, Carl Armstrong, is going to come and bring special music. And when I say special, maybe the word would better be unique. But please come and play if you would. so much. Carl's going to be doing the ladies' workshop, by the way. So you ladies have even more in store for you. But thank you so much for the music. I think Ken's rubbed off on me a little bit.
That's good.
Is that good? Oh, okay. That's good. That's all right. 219. Let's stand and sing. Grace 'tis a charming sound. 219.
The charming sound I heard as we lived, Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. A grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book was grace that gave me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. Oh, let thy grace inspire my soul with strength divine. May all my power to thee aspire, and all my days be thine. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me.
It's good to meet other folks of like precious faith in other parts of the country, and we take encouragement from them, but we're glad to be encouraged to him, and we're glad for him to come now and to speak. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Work. All right. Good afternoon. We're thrilled to be here. I was here 2 years ago, and then last year I went to the DR, and then Grace changed its time to going overseas, taking our kids overseas because of the IBFNA. You know, we thought it was important to be here, and so then I got a call and they asked me to do this. Now I'm kind of going to do what I do at school and what I do a lot at my church, which is I've got a lot of scriptures organized, and I want to go through this because it's a doctrine. I'm preaching that 4 through 6, which is difficult to do, and so I'm lined up a lot of verses, so I need y'all to read them, okay? That way you don't go to sleep on me, okay? So that's how you keep people awake, all right? So, and I also, the other thing I don't like is for you to sit there and wait to read. So let's go, okay? If you interrupt somebody else, it's okay. Just get going. Let's roll on this thing, okay? Because I got a lot of scripture here that I want you to back up, so I want you to understand what we're dealing with here. It's going to go right along with what the other preachers have been saying, okay? So let's roll. Right? We must walk worthy of the Lord. Now I want you to watch this because this is how he starts the chapter off. We must walk worthy of the Lord, being filled with the Spirit who will cause us to be unified by maintaining the same doctrinal standard. Okay? This is hugely important because one of the problems that you have, and if you go online, you'll see messages that people have preached from Ephesians. They understand it's about unity. What they don't understand is about... See, I saw a joke. One of them was telling a joke. He said, a guy got to heaven, he looked over and he saw a room. And he said, "What's that room?" And he said, "Oh, don't go in there. That's where the Baptists are. They think they're the only ones up here." Okay? Well, he's telling a joke. Why is he saying that? Well, the reason is because we believe in doctrinal purity. They believe in unity without the doctrinal purity. That's what they believe in. So they tell you that they're a fundamentalist. What they mean is they're the fundamentalists of the 1920 variety where they have the five fundamentals. Okay, the problem is going to be, when I run into problems with these people, is on separation. That's where you run into problems with them, okay? All right, so here we are. Somebody read it.
"I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation therewith you are called."
Okay, so walk worthy. That's the idea, to walk worthy of the vocation, that of being a Christian, one like Jesus, one like Christ, right? Everybody with me? All right. What does he say in Philippians 1:27?
"Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Be stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel."
All right. You see that word faith, the faith again? Remember what Brother Moritz said? That means that you can substitute doctrine for that. That's what he's talking about. Everybody know the difference between theology and doctrine? What's the difference between theology and doctrine? Okay, doctrine comes exclusively from the Word of God. Theology comes with some philosophy attached to it. For instance, ontological, explaining the existence of God, etc., and other things like that. So when you start dealing with theology, you can go outside of what the Bible says. Things may be true, but the point being is doctrine is purely from the Word of God. Okay? All right. So this is that you're in one mind striving together for the what? The faith of the gospel. Okay, so that's the point, going right along with our thing. All right, here's another one. Colossians 1:10.
"That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God."
All right, what's the knowledge of God? Well, it's the doctrine. It's all about who God is from the Bible. The Bible starts out, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. It presumes the existence of God. Okay, so... this whole thing is about God and what His plan is and how he did things and why He did them that way. All right, here we go.
"That ye should walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe."
Okay, so what made the Thessalonians such a church that their faith was heard around the world? Their belief in the Word of God. They took it as inspired, verbal, plenary. Okay, let me just tell you. When you're looking at a doctrinal statement, if it leaves out verbal plenary, you better start asking some questions. Okay? Don't take the inerrant and the other stuff by itself. If it doesn't say verbal plenary, start asking questions. Okay? Because there's a problem, usually. Okay, not always, just sometimes some people didn't know, but usually there's a problem. All right, roll. Ephesians 4, 2 and 3.
"With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the mind of peace."
Ah, so he comes to walking worthy in verse 1, and now he comes to and tells you how you're supposed to walk. Now, as fundamentalists, sometimes this is where we go wrong. Okay? And if you read the old fundamentalists, they were flamethrowers, they were a lot of things, okay? And some of us have been too, okay? And that's the reason is because we start defending something, but we're defending it from our own minds. Because the Spirit of God doesn't do that, right? The Spirit of God produces the fruits of the Spirit in the person that has been converted. This is very, very, very important for us to get down. If we are going to be a light, if we are going to show people, and trust me, I have seen neo-evangelicals come over to our side. I've seen quite a few of them, in fact. But they come over based on us being able to show them from the Scriptures what is truth in a spirit of love, not in a spirit of throwing stones at them or eggs at them or things like that at them. Now, I'm not... Don't get me wrong. When somebody is an apostate, it's a different story. When somebody is attacking truth publicly, one has to go and defend it publicly. Okay? I'm not saying we don't do that. But what I'm saying is, there is a spirit that has to be produced only by the Spirit of God in you and me because we are depraved human beings. Y'all agree with me? Okay. I am still what Paul said in Romans 7. What I want to do, I don't wind up doing. What I don't want to do, that's exactly what Steve Pittman does. Okay? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death? And then he answers it in chapter 8, the gospel of the Holy Spirit, or the doctrine of the Holy Spirit according to Paul. I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. He goes on and gives an exposition of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Okay? So here we go. All lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in what? Love. It's hard to forbear some people. I don't know how Mike McCubbins forbears that Reiner boy. Right? How does that happen? Okay? How do we forbear one another? Because God has been so gracious to us. Amazing grace. Okay? I just thought I'd get you back, bro. Okay? All right. Let's roll. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. Somebody read it. Okay, what does the Spirit provoke in us? What does He produce? Everything that's opposite to what we are. Everything that Jesus is. We're being conformed to that image. That's the point, people. That's the point. Okay? We're not there yet. We have problems. That's why we have to learn how to say, I'm sorry. Even as pastors. Okay, we want our people to say they're sorry. Guess who's going to show them how to do that? The pastors are. Okay? All right. Here's what Adoniram J. Gordon said. Somebody want to read that? Okay. Doctrine is the framework of life, the skeleton of truth to be clothed and rounded out by what? There you go. I always tell my students, doctrine is not something that you believe on a shelf. It's something you do. Doctrine is active. It's never passive. It always causes you, if you believe something, it always causes you to do something. Right? So if the fire alarm goes off, if you know that there's just a drill, how do you go outside? Well, just whatever, you know. When I get there talking, I'll talk to Chick here on our way out because we know it's a drill. Now, if you thought there's a real fire, what do? Now, you run. Okay? Because what you believe always causes you to do something. Okay? All right. Colossians 3, 12 through 15, what's written? So again, these are all verses about what the Holy Spirit produces in the life of the real believer who's walking with God. Okay? In his book, The Pursuit of God, A.W. Tozer gives this interesting illustration. Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? What fork should we be tuned to? Okay? The Holy Spirit is doing the work of God in each one of us. What's going to happen? There we go. Okay? Here it goes again. You want to read it together? Let's go. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. Okay, this is the first thing. Now, when we get to Ephesians 4, some people think it was part of an ancient creed. Maybe it became part of an ancient creed later, but this is divine revelation. Okay? It was given by Paul to the church. Paul says that what it was given to him to deliver the mystery, something not revealed in the Old Testament. Okay? So the doctrine of the church is not revealed in the Old Testament. Therefore, the rapture has to be something given to the church and not in the Old Testament. Second coming is in the Old Testament, but rapture is in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. So Zechariah 14:4 says that Christ will come down, second coming, touch down on the Mount of Olives. But the rapture is not that. It is a mystery, by the way. Song of Solomon is not about Christ and the church, right? No matter how many people tell you it is. Okay? All right, roll. Romans 12:5. One body. Okay? We have local manifestations of that body, but we have, if you want to call it the universal church, if you want to call it the Catholic church, some of you won't like that, but if you go back to original meaning, okay, etc. All right? All right, roll. Here's where he says, the same passage, he says, you cannot partake of the doctrine of demons and the doctrine of the bread of Christ, or the doctrine of Christ. You can't do the same thing. You can't do both. Okay?
But all these work at that one and self-same spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. Whereas the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ.
So let me ask you a question. How can you stay at Bedside Baptist and be using your gift to edify others and others edify you? Mm-hmm. See, there's your thing that why you need to be at church, besides your Hebrews 10:25. You're at church because God's given you a gift, and with the gifts that you have, you're supposed to be edifying others, and others are supposed to be edifying you. And if you're not at church, that can't be happening. Okay? So spiritual people are where? At church. And if they're not at church, guess what they are? They're not spiritual. So that's simple. You can like it or you can lump it. You can get mad at me. You can throw stones at me. You can do whatever you want. It's a very simple concept here. It's a doctrinal concept. Spiritual people at church. Now, I'm not talking about somebody sick. I'm not talking about if they're on vacation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about normally we go to church. And whatever church you join, whenever their meetings are, you're supposed to be there. And if you're not there, something's wrong with you. So I went to a church and I said, where are the deacons? And the deacons weren't there. Okay? I proceeded to let them know that that was an ungodly. Okay? And see, that's what I'm saying. I'm not sometimes very popular, but it doesn't matter to me. This is what the doctrine says. Okay? This is what the doctrine says. How can you, if you have a gift, what is your gift? To help edify the believers. That's what he gave it to you for, right? For the glory of God. So we have in the church, everything that's done in the church is done for the glory of God because we are doxological, right? We're not redemptive, we're doxological. Everything's done for the glory of God. Under that comes two things. Either it's done for evangelism or it's done for edification. Or both. So every ministry in your church will be under one of those two things or both. But primarily one will always take precedence. So Sunday school is for edification or is it for salvation? Yes. Primarily it's for edification, but salvation does happen at it. Okay? Now, if I'm going out calling on people that I know are not saved, then it's primarily for evangelism. But if I meet somebody who's saved, then it turns into edification. See what I'm saying? But everything that I do is for that, and it's all for the glory of God. That's the point. All right, let's roll. What does it say? Your body of Christ, but members in particular. Now, I have members in my church, and all of them have different gifts, both natural and spiritual, right? If they're not there, who's doing their job? Because everybody doesn't have those gifts. Do you understand me? So, if my body, if my arm decided it wasn't coming today, we'd be up a creek, wouldn't we? If my leg decided it didn't want to cooperate, we'd be up a creek. All you have to do is have had a stroke and figure it out. What happens when part of your body doesn't want to cooperate? And that's the way a lot of our churches are. They're like stroke victims. They can't operate correctly because people aren't at church. Okay, now part of this is for you, because if you're not making your people come to church, okay, so I have this philosophy in my church. You don't come to church, you're not a member. Okay, because I have it in the Bible, right? We're fundamentalists? Yeah? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, right? So if you're forsaking the assembly of yourself, can you really be a fundamentalist? So when we get to the end, I'm gonna ask you a question here. What part of the Bible is not forever settled in heaven? What part can you say, I'm gonna skip it, it doesn't really matter? Okay? Alright, let's roll. Okay, the second thing that he says besides one body is one what? Spirit. Because the body has to be alive, and what makes the body alive is the Spirit. The church is a living organism, besides being an organization. All right, what does it say?
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are not a believer. You might be a member of the church. You shouldn't be, not of a Baptist church, because we believe in baptismal regeneration, right? No, okay, I was going to get you. Okay, what do we believe in? Regenerate church membership. We believe in regenerate church membership. And yet, at least down south, our pastors say half of our churches are filled with unsaved people. How can that be? Because somewhere we've left the doctrine. Somewhere we've left the doctrine. Okay, now what I'm trying to tell you is, and you guys can like it or you can lump it, what I'm trying to tell you is, this is supposed to be an organization that stands for doctrinal purity, right? We got to get back to some doctrinal purity ourselves. We're tolerating things that should not be tolerated. We're allowing things because we're more worried about whether we have enough members in our church. We should be more worried about whether these members are qualified to be in the church, which means they, first of all, have to be saved. Okay? They, first of all, have to be saved. Okay? All right, roll. What does it say? Okay, what does he mean? We're all dwelt by the same Holy Spirit. It happened at the time of salvation. Okay, one baptism, not two. It doesn't say a second baptism of the Holy Spirit, as some of our Pentecostal friends want to talk about. It doesn't, one baptism, one time. Which also speaks of the guarantee of eternal salvation. Okay, goes right along. All right, what does it say? 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 8. Or, I think, 4, 7, and 8. That's what we want.
Now there are diversities of gifts of the same Spirit, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
By the same what? So it's one Holy Spirit, many members, one? One what? We already talked about it, last point. One body. One body, many members, one Spirit. Many gifts, one Spirit. Right? Everybody with me? All right, roll.
To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. But all these work at that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing every man separately as he will.
Okay, so who decides what gifts you get is? Holy Spirit. All right, roll.
So we
have access through Jesus Christ, that's one way, but we also have it through the Spirit, because we don't even know how to pray as we ought, but He gives utterance to our prayers, right? Have you ever been so, I'm about this way about our country. I love this country. I mean, I grew up, my parents taught me, we were missionaries in Africa. This was America. This was the place that sent the missionaries out. This was our country. We came back in, we would always stop and look at the flag and do the salute to the American flag as we stepped back onto American soil, whether it was New York or Miami. Now where this country is gone and my heart's agonized, and I don't even know what to say to God sometimes about this country, but the Holy Spirit knows, and He translates that into a prayer that's audible to the Father. What does it say? Ephesians 4:4.
Even as you have called in one hope of your calling.
Someone made this the other day. I believe the song leader said, the hope of the Bible is not maybe. It's an assurance. Okay? And that's what the Bible's talking about. So here we go. Romans 8, 23 to 25, where Paul explains about hope. Okay. Go ahead.
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For when man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for.
I'm sitting here thinking, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When rapture, I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Or another song that my mom used to play on the record player in Africa, that old wound-up record player. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. It will be worth it all. People, if we get a glimpse of Jesus, we get the fruit of the Spirit. We get back to understand the doctrine. We get back to loving the doctrine more than we love people. Guess what's going to happen? You'll get revival. Revival is not about people getting saved. Revival is about God's people getting their hearts right and getting back to what God thinks is important. Then people get saved. Okay? Oh, I'm sorry. I just was getting ready to roll. All right, let's go. So even the hope is through the power of what? The Holy Spirit. Okay? All right, let's roll.
Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the
saints. We know that when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He man. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. You know, how close are we to heaven? Well, we really don't know. A car accident away, falling down the steps, some sickness, or the rapture. But it doesn't matter. For me to be absent from the body is to be with Jesus. All right, roll. Colossians 1:5. What's it say? The hope that is laid up for you where? In heaven. And people say, pie in the sky by and by when they're mocking us. But one day, they won't be mocking us. They'll be like the rich man in hell looking over, seeing what we are doing, right? And they'll wish to heaven that they'd listen to the gospel, won't they? It'll be our turn. We'll be over there with the crucified Lord at the feet of Jesus. This is amazing. Colossians 1:23.
If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister.
If you continue in the faith, there it is, the faith. He's talking about, we could translate that doctrine. Grounded and don't be moved away from the hope. What hope? The hope of being with Jesus. And when I get to Him, boy, do I want to look as much like Him as I can look. Don't you? Someone's talking about how do we get rid of, how do we decide what TV shows. Man, question is, do I want to look like Jesus? If I want to look like Jesus, then I need to start substituting things that don't matter for things that do matter. Okay? I need to start. It's not a matter of what's bad and what's good. It's a matter of what's best against what might be all right. Okay? That's for a lot of mature believers. They get comfortable with what's all right instead of what's better. All right, roll.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Christ in you, or the Holy Spirit in you, which is the hope of, or Paul says it was the The how's he put it? It's the trying to go Portuguese on you. Interest on what's coming. Okay, see what I'm saying? The earnest. That's what the King James says. The earnest. So we're waiting for that glorified body. That's the only thing that's left for the adoption to be complete, for us to be at the table of the Father. Okay. This hope is a what? It's an anchor of the soul. Okay? Like the old hymn says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Not the kind of hope the world talks about. This is a different kind of hope altogether. One Lord. Let's roll. Ah. Is he Lord? Here it comes. Here's a doctrinal creed for you if you don't. What does it say?
1 Corinthians 8:6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him.
How many gods does Paul talk about? One God, the Father. That's it. That's why idolatry is so horrendous, people, whether it's in your life or mine, or somebody else's or mine. Idolatry is horrendous because there's only how many gods? One. All right, roll.
1 Corinthians 12:5. And there are differences in administration, but the same Lord.
Philippians 2:11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
That every tongue should what? They're gonna. They're either gonna do it now or they're gonna do it some other time when they don't have a choice to. But even the devil is gonna bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on, people, let's go. You keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable. That's our job. Because we have to give an account to one Lord. One Lord. One faith. Further down in our passage that we're dealing with, this is what he comes to, and he's starting to talk about the church. What does he say? So in this passage, he's talking about the fact that we're supposed to be made into the image of Jesus Christ, who is the perfect man. He's the man God. He's God-man, right? We're supposed to be being made by the Spirit of God into that image. It's progressive, okay? It doesn't happen overnight. It's progressive. And as we're being made into that image, okay, he's talking about all the things that are supposed to be happening in the church, but it brings us to unity through one doctrine. That's what he says. And he talks about all these other people that are gone now, the prophets, the apostles, the prophets. And then we come to the pastor, teachers, and the missionaries. And he talks about that's how we're doing this work from now on. And they're preparing people for the work of the ministry. So the pastor is not supposed to be doing all the work. He's supposed to be training the people to do the work. So if you have a true New Testament church, the pastor is not in after social cleaning up the church by himself with his family. There are the whole churches down there cleaning up the church. Why? Because there's how many bodies?
One.
Okay? Just so you... Oh, I'm sorry. Moved on. All right, Jude 1:3. We've hit that a lot. We don't have to even read it, but it just says, I want you to see that in red. We're supposed to do what? Contend for the faith, the doctrine. Okay, again. All right? What unifies also divides. If I ask everyone with blue eyes to stand up, it would separate them from those who have brown eyes. When we choose to follow Jesus, it separates us from those who don't. Okay? That's just a simple separation that happened. So here's what he said. Jesus said, "Do not think that I am come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man at against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Matthew 10, 34 and 35. Then Amos 3, 3, what does it say? Let me ask you a question. Are you walking with Jesus? And if you're walking with Jesus, you won't be able to walk with some of your family. If you're walking with Jesus, there's friends you can't walk with anymore. If you're walking with Jesus, there may be people who are members of the IBFNA or were members of the IBFNA with whom you cannot have fellowship anymore. Because you can't walk with them and walk with Jesus because they're not walking with Jesus. So you're going to have to make a determination. Who do you want to walk with? Who's more important to you? Who's the important person in your life? People, it causes you to make a choice. You have to decide. What does he say? 2 Timothy 1:13. Okay, hold fast the form of... Now, why does the Bible say so much about holding fast to this doctrine? Because it is so hard to do. Why? Because I have family members who don't hold to what I hold to. I have people in my own family, flesh and blood. They don't hold to what I hold to. I have friends that graduated with me from Bible college and they don't hold anymore to what I hold to. I have people who are missionaries with me, who don't hold to what I hold to anymore. I have pastor friends of mine who don't hold to what I hold to anymore. There it is again. Somebody preached on it. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. What? Be strong. Watch. It's soldier language. Colossians 2:7.
Established
in the faith. Rooted, built up, established. That'll preach. There it is again. Fought the good fight. Finished my course. I have kept what? The faith. One baptism. Okay, there it is again. We've already read it, so we don't need to read it again. But the Spirit baptism, it happens at salvation. Okay? Hebrews 6:2, the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Well, various baptisms, at least three different kinds. You have Old Testament purification baptisms that were brought about by the Jewish people later. Baptism of John the Baptizer, the baptism of repentance. And New Testament church baptism, which is identification with Christ and with His church. Okay? All right? And here's where we go. Romans 6, 1 through 5. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, or it's an emphatic negative in the Greek, really, may it never be. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in newness of life, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. So let me ask you a question. Is that spirit or is that water baptism right there he's talking about? And we can get into a debate about it, but I'll tell you it's both. Because one has to happen before the other one does. And when I baptize somebody, they're saying, I was this person has died, been buried, and has risen again to walk in. And you cannot do that by pouring water over somebody's head or sprinkling water on their head. Okay, it has to be by immersion. It's the only way you can show that doctrine. Okay? Ephesians 4, 6, what? One God, one Father, and one Father, who is above all, through all, and in you all. There again, it's repeated there, but one God and the Father, by whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Romans 11, 33 through 36, fantastic passage. Somebody want to read it?
Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are
Amen? That's doxological for you. All right, 1 Corinthians 12:6. Now, if you pay attention to the one Lord, one Spirit, and one God, you realize that the Trinity is working in the operation of the gifts in the church, right? Okay? All right, 1 Corinthians 15:28. Here we go. This is a kicker passage, because when you get to the end of everything, this is what he says. When you get to the end of all the dispensations, this is where we're going. What does it say? That's the plan, people. That's the plan right there. That God may be all in all. Your entire dispensational setup, everything that you believe is to that end right there. That God may be all in all. And it's going to happen. Okay, people can get with the plan or they can not get with the plan, but it's going to happen anyway. Okay? We deal with a sovereign God. All right, here we are. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is what? Okay, what part of the word isn't settled in heaven? Okay, now here comes a passage that makes the hair stand up on the back of Steve Pittman's neck. Okay, here's what Jesus said. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever, okay, put your name there, therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so. You see that? He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't lose his salvation. What does he lose? His standing. He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So let me ask you a question. What part of fundamentalism or what part of the fundamentals or what part of the old way have we let slip? And what part are we saying, well, you know, as long as the person believes this, this, and this, and as long as I do this and this, okay. Okay, and then I ask you a question. It's not about you pleasing me or you pleasing the IBFNA or you pleasing somebody else or whatever. It's about you pleasing who? Him. Who gave up everything for you. And I can imagine at the judgment seat him looking at me and saying, I died for you. And if that wasn't enough, I gave you my Holy Spirit. And if that wasn't enough, I gave you my entire word. Why couldn't you just do what I asked you to do? And then what am I going to say? Well, you're given an idea of what to say in one of the parables. It said he asked the man and the man said nothing. What are you going to say? People, I don't want to get there. I really don't. And it's why we need accountability. It's why the IBFNA is so important. We need accountability from one another, don't we? We all have different gifts here. We all have different, we preach different ways. We're not the same. We don't need to be the same. God didn't ask us to be the same. But he did ask us to believe the same thing. Okay, he did ask us to believe the same thing. What does it say again? Let's read it together. Crucial. It's absolutely crucial to the life of the believer. Either we are or we're not. There's no in between. There's no maybe I'm doing this, maybe I'm not doing this. You either are or you're not. You're either with it or you're not with it. And if you're not with it, you can get with it real fast. You know what it says? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. People, it needs to start with us. Our churches aren't going to get right unless we do. Okay, we can't come here and think that just because we come here, we're okay. This is what this is for. This is to provoke unto good works. It's to iron sharpens iron. I'm in need of this as much as you are. I've told you, Pittman has a hard time doing what Pittman's supposed to do. The only way Pittman ever gets it done is when he remembers to allow the Holy Spirit to control him. Otherwise, I say stupid things. Who was it was saying that they... Well, I think it was that Reinhard boy again. You know, he tells his wife crazy things and then comes home and, you know, I was thinking, yeah, I've done that. Mm-hmm. And my wife doesn't forget nothing. I can't remember yesterday. She remembered 2 years ago what I said. Okay? So So you need to learn some lessons about this, but the bottom line is, if you can't be a godly person to your family, how are you going to be to the church? If you don't treat your wife with respect, what are you going to do with the church of God? Okay, so it's been a privilege to come, privilege to be here, and God's blessing on everyone that's here. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Somebody who feels led of the Spirit, go ahead and pray right now.
Father, how we thank you today for the admonitions that we've heard from your word. And Lord, I pray that indeed this might find rich soil there within our hearts, that indeed we may begin to implement the things that we're learning. Lord, we pray it in